Your Humanities Half Hour is brought to you by the Northern Marianas Humanities Council, Navigating the Human Experience Together.
Hafidei, Dero, and welcome to Your Humanities Half Hour. I'm Catherine Perry, and today we are talking about Pacific filmology. And our guests are from the Pacific Islanders in Communication Organization. We have the Vice Chair, Balthazar Agun, and Board Member, Rita Nauta. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us again.
You know, I have to say, having the opportunity to get to know both of you a little bit, you're so busy. Why another responsibility? Why Pacific Islanders in Communication?
Well, for one, I think it's a really great organization. You know, it helps to develop Pacific Island media content and the talent to tell the Pacific Island story. You know, so that the world can know about us, so that we can know about us. So I think that it's definitely a valuable organization to be a part of, and I want to represent, you know, the Pacific Island people.
And I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes.
No, I was just going to say it makes sense because you do have a master's of fine arts in film. So congratulations on your vice chairmanship.
Thank you.
Rita, you also are carrying a lot with Guampedia. Why have you added this to your repertoire of to-dos?
I'm not sure. Well, actually, it just seems like a fit. And in terms of Guampedia as providing content and stories, and that we could parlay that into film and for people to connect that. And so the organization, like Belle said, you know, it's a really wonderful organization to be part of. I just started this is my fourth year. As a board member, and they're about building capacity, the talent, and developing talent, and then also producing stories about our history, our culture, and the contemporary issues of Pacific Islanders.
Balthazar, tell us formally, what is Pacific Islanders in Communication?
Okay, I mean, they do so much, but it's pretty much a nonprofit media arts organization that was formed in 1991, and the mission is to support, advance, and develop Pacific Island media content and talent, excuse me,
no problem,
that enhances the public recognition of the art of the Pacific Island history, the people, and the society.
Mm-hmm. So I keep interrupting you. This is not good.
Oh, no,
go ahead.
Okay. So we're associated with the National Minority Consortia, and that is a group, a collective of other national media organizations that serve other ethnic groups. So there's the Latino, the African American, the Asian Native American. So we do the Pacific Islands. Pacific Islanders and Communications does.
What are you seeing in terms of films now being produced with the assistance of Pacific Islanders in Communication, also known as PIC, I understand?
Yes. Because the mission is Pacific Island centric, it has to be focused on the Pacific Islands, you know, their experience, their history, either fiction or nonfiction. But personally, I see the ones that I've radiated with, I see this longing again for connection with their culture, you know, and being able to tell the story of, you know, the indigenous people from their islands. So it's, there's a lot of deep films. There's a lot of, that have deep, profound messages. There's lighter films that, you know, bring the message through humor, but it's all focused on the Pacific Island experience.
Sounds like very fulfilling work.
It is, you know, and you know, the staff is, I mean, they're the ones that take care of the programming, they're the ones that take care of the applications and choosing the stories, and they always do such a fantastic job. you know, I think there's like right now we had 20 projects in the pipeline that's in production, you know, pre-production, post-production, production. So they work really hard.
And I think we want to let our viewers and listeners know that there is funding that can be applied for if they have a film idea. But Rita, I understand Bal actually roped you into this somehow. Yes. With the production of a film. How did that happen?
I recommended her to the executive director, and she went through the interviews with them, and they totally loved her. So she did it on her own.
Okay.
And it's kind of come full circle because I work with Guampedia, and this was about 20 years ago. 2024, and it was 20 years ago that I attended a PIC workshop, a producer's workshop in Guam. They came to Guam to do training. And so I just started on the project with Guampedia, and my job was to develop the brand, marketing, and outreach. And so it's like, how are we going to launch this? And one of our entries was about the creation myth, the Chamorro creation myth, about the brother, sister, Punten, and Fu'una. And so I thought, well, the only way to start is the beginning of the story. And so through that PIC training, the project that I wanted to pitch was the production of the creation story. And we did it for the workshop, but then that was the story I pitched for the launching of the project. And Bella and I co-produced the short film. It was about 8 minutes, and we did it in English and then also in Chamorro with English subtitles. So
we co-produced, we co-directed, we shot. It was like no clear
jack of all trades.
No clear.
We ended up finding and said, oh, it's Fiesta production. Yeah. Because everybody brings something different to the table. And you know, sometimes when the fiestas happen, you're like, is a fiesta really happening? And then when things just fall into place, and it's like we knew we were doing everything like we had, you know, it planned, but no, we were just like going with
and,
it.
You know, this one was such a magical experience, you know. We had lost a friend who was a part of it before it was completed. I think you guys just did the concept, right? You did the concept and maybe some scripting. But we totally felt his presence in everything that we were doing. Things just came together. You know, we went to Orunau, which is so beautiful over there.
What is Orunau?
Orunau is a beach in the northern part of the island, which is, you know, where our friend was from. But just being there, and we all went our separate ways. We each had a camera, except I took Rita because I was going to film her. But we each had our camera. We went and we shot, you know, what we were drawn to. And it just worked out beautifully. We got the shots we needed. We had... again, an enlightened experience, an inspired experience. It was as if we were being, as if this film had to be made, you know, it had to be made, and we were being guided. So it was something that I would say, you know, the guidance came from beyond, and it was definitely a satisfying completion.
So the name of the film is Tinetuhun, Punten, and Fu'una. Where has it been distributed, and where can people find it today or watch it today?
We've screened it in many different places in a lot of classrooms, but you could actually click on guampedia.com and be able to do the search or just find it in our media galleries. So they'll be able to watch it on the website.
What's the feedback you've gotten on this particular film?
20 years later.
Sorry, 20 years ago.
No, but you get it on the website. You get feedback on the website.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, with because it's a creation story, it's a myth, and in the process of production, and how are we going to execute this? And we really wanted to, and it was really based on Dr. Anne Hattori's research, because we didn't want to focus too much on the actual storyline. We focus on the meaning behind it. because, you know, with our stories, our legends, our myths, it just depends on whose version. And people get caught up in which version is the right version. Mm-hmm. But with the creation myth, what Dr. Ann's work has shown is that the meaning and why is it a brother and sister and not like Adam and Eve?
Yeah, so why is it a brother and a sister?
Because in ancient Chamorro society, they actually practice marriage and divorce. And so a bond can be broken.
But not between brother and sister.
Yes.
So that's why it's a brother and sister, because the bond can never be broken between family, between brother and sister, and that it also speaks to our matrilineal culture. And that Punten's body created the earth. His eye, one eye was the rainbow, the sun and the moon. His eyebrows, the rainbow. But it was Fu'una's spirit that brought life to the land and to the soul. And that this interconnectedness between the role of a man and a brother sister role of women and men speaks to our communal nature as a people. As Chamorros and Pacific Islanders, really, is to work together. It's not about gender, it's just roles and responsibilities for the betterment of the community. Mm.
And Dr. Ann made that very succinct and clear, everything she said.
Yeah.
So
thank you for sharing that, because I think a lot of us are familiar with the legend, but putting it in that cultural perspective makes it more meaningful. Versus just another story.
Yeah, behind those stories, and to think about how they've been passed on, you know, their oral history being told for so many centuries over, if we look at our history here in the Marianas, we're talking about 150 generations. And those stories, like Taga, and, these are important stories, and because they teach something. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we wanted to do with Itini Tuhun, is focus on what it taught, what it teaches us. Because the cultural values, customs and traditions will change over time. We know that, especially from COVID. You know, we had to stop mingingi. We had to do bones and, far away, right? And so, but the cultural values stay the same. Mm-hmm. The respect and reverence we have for our manyaina, our elders, that has not changed. The value that we have in children, and that the environment, the natural environment, is just as much what we give, what we take from the environment. We got to make sure we replenish, so that interconnectedness, that sense of community, those are so important and so rich, and we need to be reminded about that. The values are still with us, but maybe the customs and traditions are different. But that's what continues to, we can say that we're still in the 21st century, still Chamorro, still Islanders.
Well put. Values stay, yes. Mm-hmm. Balthazar, you were also, I believe it was the director of a series that aired on PBS, War on Guam.
The series on PBS Guam was I Know Guam.
I Know Guam. Oh, apologies. Yes. Apologies.
Oh, no problem.
But he also did War for Guam.
Yeah, War for Guam. Yes. Yes. Can you tell us about those two, the series and the documentary?
Sure. War for Guam was a long process, but it was definitely so gratifying to see it up on film. There was a lot of conflict. There was a lot of turmoil as far as getting everything done and producing it and, in post-production. But once it hit the screen, it's like none of that matters, But it talks about the enduring legacies left on Guam from World War II. So, there's issues of the land. And there's two key figures that are featured in the film is Polly Duenas, who was a martyr in World War II, and George Tweed. So, it was kind of juxtaposed. So Tweed was seen as a hero in the American eyes, and Polly Duenas was seen as a traitor. So it's very thought-provoking, but it primarily dealt with, and it was through war survivor interviews that we got a lot of the information, their experience, what did they go through, during the war. So it was broadcast nationally across the United States in, I think, 161 PBS stations in 2015, and it continues to be broadcast. So that.
Go ahead.
And more for Guam, I mean, excuse me, I know Guam, the series was a lot of fun. We had youth hosts go to different sites on the island and talk about the history and the significance of certain sites. Actually, Rita's daughters, both of them, each had an episode and they did fantastic. So her daughter Zaya did the first episode, which was at Pawgut. And at the time, there was a proposal to turn Pawgut into a firing range.
For the military?
For the military. Yes. So it was very timely. And then her other daughter.
You have a talented family, Rita.
They do.
They came up with the term voluntold.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just used it.
Study this.
Okay. Yes.
Anna did episode 3, and that dealt with the Guam legislature building.
Well, very good. I mean, these stories are so important to help preserve our history so that, you know, the current and next generation can know these things, or people not from Guam who are interested can always find it. By the way, are the I Know Guam, is that available any place online?
PBS Guam started putting things on YouTube, on their YouTube channel, but I don't know if that particular series is on yet.
All right.
But War for Guam is, though. You can watch War for Guam on the YouTube channel for PBS Guam.
I just want to interject, because Bitazot is very humble, but it's really, particularly like with War for Guam, what really resonated through that story was that it was a war not of their making, mm-hmm. our war survivors, that they got caught in it. And that, you know, and then to be able to overcome it, and, you know, that really resonated. It was a very powerful way to that was presented. And then with I Know Guam, the idea of having young hosts, you know, and being
That's
able,
what I was thinking.
Yes,
yeah.
You know, and it was just really, you know, to appeal to younger audiences, and then taking them to these sites and going through the process of them learning about it,
exactly.
and then being
what
able
a
to
great
share
idea.
It.
Yeah.
His idea.
Yeah. Great ideas. We're chatting today with Balthazar Agun and Rita Nauta of Pacific Islanders in Communication. We'll be back with more after this break.
Hafaday, Zantiro. I'm Leo Pangilinan with the Northern Marianas Humanities Council. We'd like to take a moment to thank our generous sponsors who have made possible the many programs in our community, like this show. We couldn't have done it without them. And if you value the work we do and would like to make a contribution to our efforts, we ask that you consider making an in-kind or cash contribution to the Northern Marianas Humanities Council. Any amount is appreciated, and donations of up to $5,000 qualify for an educational tax credit. We appreciate your partnership and support. Sizus Maasi, Olomai, and thank you.
Welcome back. Guys, let's talk about what I know everybody is waiting to hear about, funding opportunities for film production through PIC.
Yes, the first one is called the Media Fund. And they can fund up to $65,000 for a half hour to an hour nonfiction program that's in the production and post-production phase. The other opportunity is the shorts fund. And that's, you know, pretty much anything up to 30 minutes, mm-hmm. considered up to 30 minutes. And you can get $25,000 to go towards that project.
And I think we do want to issue a disclaimer. You are not the day-to-day managers of these programs.
So we don't review the applications. We don't review the stories. That's all staff. All staff. And then we also have a special projects section, but that is for productions that are already in production, mm-hmm. and has covered all the other funding.
Okay, okay. Another great thing that you offer is training. What do the training sessions or workshops you have look like? And is there anything coming up for our part of the Pacific?
I'll let Rita talk about that. Rita actually went to one of the trips.
I did the Producers Academy, and that was a week-long program, and that was a while ago. But that's the kind of training that they provide. There's also some new ones where they're partnering with these different production houses to. What's the program? Is it Firelight?
Firelight.
Firelight.
And the program is Homefront.
And one of our...
Homeland.
Homeland. And so one of our filmmakers from Guam is now part of that development program.
Awesome.
And yeah, so there's, and what we're, as representatives from the region, that's something that what we bring to the table is being able to identify the needs of our filmmakers, our storytellers within the community, and then bringing that to the table and being able to tailor. Because I mean, even talking with some of the filmmakers today, they kind of had the same issues that we did 20 years ago, and the application forms. Mm-hmm. You know, that's always a big thing.
Application forms, the requirements, you need copyright clearance, you need to get the insurance, and there, you know, it's not offered in Guam.
Oh.
So that's thing that we need to bring to the board level
to
see if there can be assistance with that.
I think it's really great then to have you guys as representatives of Guam / the Marianas here to represent, to listen and to take back to the organization, things like that that maybe they didn't think of.
Yes, and when we get the feedback, like Rita said, then we're going to be able to, or the staff will be able to tailor and program or tailor the training for their needs.
Mm-hmm.
So if they need training in if they need more training in writing the story and developing the script, you know, maybe they can have seminars in lighting and in, you know, production. So there's a lot of opportunities that we would like to see happen for Guam and the Marianas. I should just say the Marianas because it's the Marianas, for the Marianas. And hopefully we can bring the training that they need, that they actually long for.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any current partners or people you're talking with, organizations you're talking with in the Marianas in particular?
In terms of filmmakers? Well, that we do understand, like Mabel had mentioned earlier, that they have PIC staff. They have about 22 projects in the pipeline, and one of them is a project based out of NMI.
All right.
Yeah, so that's in the works, and that project is the film in working title is Tip of the Spear. Sophia Perez and Sophia Frain, I think, are the project directors for that. Repeat that production, and then we usually have our board retreats in January. Bao wasn't able to make it. I was just there, and for the first time at the retreat, we were able to screen a film from Guam that was just really completed, and we're actually helping them. It's called Trade Winds, produced by Mighty Island, and
what's it about?
It's about, Trade Winds is a band led by a jazz band group by Patrick Palomo. He is one of our pioneer artists, jazz pianist, you know, and his group. And it's such a beautiful story because of how he, just about the group, but Chamorro jazz. You know, it's like, how's that? And it speaks to just, you know, we're Chamorro, but we love jazz music, and you're going to hear what Chamorro jazz is. And what the film does is it transports you to the village of Piti, where Patrick is from. And he speaks about how he learned, how he got into music from his auntie who helped Puksai them, you know, and that music as a people in our culture is so important. So it's a beautiful film. And so that film was actually also screened at the Hawaii International Film Festival. And then it's going to be screened at the Maori.
In Tahiti, in the FIFO Film Festival.
Yeah. So it speaks to the talent and the stories that are from our area, from the Marianas, are rich. And I tell you, that film, as it was being screened in Honolulu, everybody was mesmerized. And they afterwards, they were like, how do we get their music?
You know,
at the meeting. And these are board members that range from DC, New Jersey, and they were downloading
Tradewinds. They were inspired. Yeah.
So really, and just the quality and the it's just, you know, our Chamorros are known, Pacific Islanders in general, as storytellers, mm-hmm. as great orators. And you can see that with the stories that are coming out and being produced by our people. Beautiful stories.
And it had a really good message about indigenous music. You know, what is considered indigenous music? Because it's jazz, you know, would you consider that Chamorro? Mm-hmm. And then Patrick's up there and he's saying, you know, I'm Chamorro and this is my music. This is Chamorro music.
You know, like
so it had this really thought-provoking angle to it. Mm-hmm. So it was beautifully done, beautifully shot, and we were so proud to have them complete this film and go on.
Well, congratulations to them. Yeah,
yes.
For sure.
Yes.
I was really excited to see that PIC has actual series that you guys are supporting. What are some of the series that people might look into?
There's one called Family Ingredients, and that's all about cooking. So that's a lot of fun, and it's a big hit in Hawaii and in a lot of other Pacific Island places. And the other one is Pacific
Heartbeat.
What's that about?
It's there's many topics. So it could be about a tattoo artist.
Oh.
It could be about a certain tradition, you know, island tradition. So it's kind of, but it's all focused on Pacific Island societies.
Very nice.
So
very
culture.
Nice. Yeah. I love watching films. Maybe this is a generalization, but like the New Zealand films, they always seem to have a really good element of humor in them. That I find almost, that's one thing about us Pacific Islanders, right? We're always looking for something to laugh about, right?
This didn't have a lot of humor in it, but it was so powerful. And it was one of the earlier films that was that PIC was involved with. I don't know if you heard of, but it is Maori. I don't know if you heard of Once Were Warriors.
I've heard of it, but I'm not sure if I ever got to watch it.
Oh, very powerful. And the star was Rena Owen, and she was just so brilliant actress. But it dealt with domestic violence, mm-hmm. you know, and at that time, that really wasn't put out there. You know, Pacific families don't want people to know about this. But it was so powerful. It was so groundbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one of the earlier films that drew me to PIC. Was I saw Once Were Warriors, and I saw in the production or in the credits, you know, partially funded by PIC, Pacific mm-hmm. Islanders and Communications.
Mm-hmm. Well, for people who are interested to learn more, where can they find out more about PIC?
Can go to their website, and it's piccom.com. That's PICCOM.com.
All right.
And you'll also find more detail on the programs and the funding opportunities there.
And they also, thanks to Athena, right? She manages, the PIC staff manages social media. So the PIC has a really strong presence on IG and Facebook.
Yes.
And that's really a lot of places, a way to easily get in touch with what the programs and deadlines for some of these media funds.
Mm-hmm.
So they're definitely present there.
Well, hopefully our chat today will result in some more films coming from people in the Marianas. Any final thoughts before we go?
Well, there's one thing I would like to add before the final thought.
Go ahead. It's your show.
We're already directing.
The filmmakers out there, if you let us know what kind of training you're looking for, or what you feel is most needed, you know, in your community, please reach out to us. You know, my email is firstmagi@gmail.com. That's number one, STMAGI guampedia@gmail.com. I don't know if you want to give yours, you can give your Guampedia.
But you can just click. Mm-hmm.
It's so important that we actually know what it is you need so that we can, you know, help to bring it out here. Mm.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, we serve as board members, and usually right at a board level, you're mostly focused on the vision and of the organization, where the staff focus on the mission and the day-to-day. But in this case, in this instance, because PIC is based in Hawaii, and we bring our region to the table, is that we have to be more engaged than traditional board members.
And thank you for that.
and that, you know, where I come from, and we're, I mean, in terms of why being part of PIC is having, you know, had that experience going through that PIC training, but that we have such an amazing plethora of stories, you know, and that I think that everybody has a story to tell. And with technology, I mean, our kids are just so talented.
They are.
There are a lot of films that are being made just from smartphones, you know, so there's so much accessibility to that. And then being able to help them and get them into that program where the PIC team, they're really wonderful people, and just want, you know, very helpful, very engaging, even if they're in Hawaii. And in fact, they just have a new office, and they created a studio so that if any visiting producers come in, they'll be able to utilize it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that don't feel that just because there's no PIC office here in the Marianas, that the PIC office in Hawaii is there for you.
Mm. Yeah, and we have a Tomorrow in the office there too.
Haji?
Athena Taitifu. She's the one that does the social media stuff.
All right.
Yeah.
Good to know. Val, final word.
Go out and do your films. You know, I mean, you have stories coming from you. You're a unique person. Find your way in the world and tell your story. And I want to say, always remember your center. Always remember that what you put out there is a reflection of not just yourself, but the community. So, you know, there's a certain amount of responsibility that comes with putting your project out there. Mm.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Oh, Sisos Masi for having us.
Hagumas. Our guests today have been Balthazar Ugun. He's the Vice Chair of Pacific Islanders in Communication, and also Board Member Rita Nauta, talking about Pacific filmography. Lots of opportunities out there. This has been your Humanities Half Hour. I'm Catherine Perry.
Your Humanities Half Hour has been made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. Democracy demands wisdom. Any views, findings, conclusions, or recommendations expressed in this program do not necessarily represent those of the National Endowment for the Humanities. For more information or to share your thoughts, contact the Northern Marianas Humanities Council at nmhcouncil.org. or on social media at 670 Humanities, that's 670 Humanities.